appreciate it. So anyhow, as I was sitting there, I was kind of asking the Lord, I said, how do I get into this? And what he brought to my mind was how Pastor Emmanuel and me connected together. And the way we connected was when we started talking about praying together. And that's what connected us. And to be honest with you, it's the very thing that has not connected me with a lot of believers since I've been saved. Because most believers I meet, they're born again, they're genuinely saved. I'm pretty sure they're going to go to heaven unless they backslide from the day I met them until the day they die. So I'm pretty sure they're going to go to heaven, but they do not have a strong prayer life. And for me, it's been my whole life since I got saved, to the place where I had no friends for many years. And I think I kind of liked it that way because I built my friendship, if I can use that word friendship, my relationship with God. And so it's not that I'm perfect or anything like that. I've got ways to go. But I know for years, I still even remember one time when I was going to the last church I was part of, which is back in 2002. They had a big meal, and I wasn't fasting back then, and they had a big meal and all that, and they wanted to actually give thanks for the people that had helped in renovation of the pastor's home, which I had went there just a couple times to do some drywall, because that was my trade. And the funny thing is, if I can use the word funny, I never went because I didn't want to miss my time of prayer with the Lord. That's how strong it had been built on the inside of me. And then I got a lot of flack for that. They said, well, you can pray any other time, but it's just so, and it's still strong in the inside of me. My prayer walks, I'm going to get into this later on, how God got me into going for prayer walks. And I'm talking about 4-hour prayer walks, just praying in tongues. You know, and with my little Bible, my little King James Bible, my pocket Bible to keep out and to have with me when I go to the parks or whatever, especially in the summertime, not so much in the winter times. But I did do a lot of prayer walks in the winter times with my long johns and stuff like that. Back then I wasn't fasting, so I wasn't too bad. So anyhow, as you see on your notes there, the topic is prayer and its diversities. So something I've learned over the years, and what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to really try to make, I know there's lots on there, and I'm going to try to really get it all on the tape because I want to make, I don't have anything on my YouTube channel right now on prayer, specifically on prayer. So I'm going to try to cram this on there, and that's why I made you the notes and all that, and I get a lot out of making my notes too for myself. But I just want to make the notes, and I'm going to try to get as much on there in the video, and then I want to leave some, lots of room for after so we can talk about prayer and just questions or whatever, or just comments or whatever, and then go over some verses together. So, like I said, prayer, when I started studying the topic of prayer, and I'm a little ahead of myself here, I realized that the Bible had a whole lot to say about prayer that I was very ignorant about, very unaware of. And if you're going to develop a strong prayer life, you better know what the Word says about prayer. And I bought a lot of books on prayer, and some books are good, but some books are not too good. Especially when you start getting into the Word, you find out that what they wrote in their books was not as accurate as it could have been. So I really started getting to the Word myself to find out what the Lord and even what the epistles had to say about prayer. So that I can have an effective prayer life, because there's nothing worse than spending a lot of time in prayer and basically it's not that God's not hearing your prayers, because he hears everything, but not answering your prayers. And I want all my prayers to be answered, all of them. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this years ago, and I didn't believe him at the time. And then when God began to show me something, I said, oh my goodness, he was right the whole time. He said he's had, ever since he learned how to pray, God has answered every one of his prayers. Wow. And I mean, I think that's probably not the norm in the church today. I think it's probably the opposite. A lot of people are praying, but they're not seeing their prayers actually being answered. Tangible prayers, you know, being answered. So this is just in a nutshell. There's a whole lot more to prayer than what I've got tonight. But I think we've got some great notes here. And we're just going to start here with the actual prayers that we find in the epistles, which we covered on. But anyhow, we touched on these the last time I taught, when Pastor Emmanuel and Sandra, the team, went to South Africa, concerning Ephesians 1, 16 to 21, and Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, also Philippians 1, 9 to 11, and Colossians 1, 9 to 11. Those are powerful prayers. If you learn to meditate them, put them inside of you so that you can eventually pray them in faith so that God can answer them. Because like I said, any prayer that God has in His Word or any prayers that God has you praying is because He wants to answer them. So that's where the fruitfulness comes into your life. And I remember one time, I told the Lord, I said, I want to pray in such a way that all of my prayers are answered. This is after, you know, I got into faith and all that and what I read from Kenneth Hagin. And this is what he spoke to me. He said, rest assured, son, that your prayers are being answered. Now, at that time, I was praying more in tongues than anything else. And I remember Pastor Emmanuel said one day, and he's right in what he said. He said, most of you, or most Christians, don't know how to pray. So you're better off just praying in tongues if you got the tongues. Because guaranteed, when you pray in tongues, your tongues are going to be answered. Because you're praying a perfect prayer. Because you're praying a prayer that is being prayed by the Spirit through you as an instrument, as a body of Christ, right? But at the same time, we need to learn how to pray in our own proper dialect. And I just wanted to mention this too, is that something that even connected me with our sister here, Laurentine, is prayer. I mean, she even came over the other day, well, actually a couple weeks ago, she had mentioned that she goes, I would like, because we got talking about prayer and stuff like that, and praying, extended time of prayer, and praying in tongues, we had talked about quite a few months ago, and she actually talked to me the other day, she actually was sitting there after a service on Sunday, and she goes, when you have time, she goes, I would love to come over and just sit down and pray 3 hours in tongues with you. And I said, phew, I said, you know, when I hear stuff like that, I just, boom, I melt, and then I get connected. And that's what I want to see the body of Christ coming into, this place of unity of prayer. Because when you get the church praying together, I'll tell you, we're going to start seeing some things happening. You know, and we're going to touch on this tonight. So some of these verses, I'm going to read them out real quick, just the references. And then we'll go over them after that. We can read them through different translations, okay? So I just want, because this is for the video also, right? So we've got Matthew 17:21. Matthew 21:13, 21:22. We have Mark 11:17, Acts 1:14, 6:4, 12:5, Romans 12:12. We're going to touch on that one tonight, big time. 1 Corinthians 7:5, 2 Corinthians 1:11, 9:14, Ephesians 6:18. Philippians 1:4, 1:19, 4:6, Colossians 4:2, 1 Timothy 4:5, James 5:15-16, and 1 Peter 4:7, and this is just a partial list. All of these references I've given right now this time, they carry some key Greek words. And I'm into the Greek because the Bible is written in Greek, and it's just something that God has put in me over the years, starting almost, I would say, within 2-3 years after I got saved, God began to open up His Word concerning the original language in the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, and the Greek, which is the New Testament. So, some of these words, some of these verses here, they carry some of these words. The first one here is Strong's number, and I mentioned the word Strong's numbers because everybody should have a concordance. They really should. Because God has done us a big favor with concordances. Huge. I've been using for concordances. Actually, the first time I was exposed to concordance was by our brother here, Grant Simon, who's the one, I just met him after, not too long after being saved. I moved back from Quebec, and he showed me this huge book, and he started getting into the Concordance King James and the dictionary and all that. And I know God used that to sow something on the inside. And I shared that with Pastor Emmanuel not too long ago. I said, Grant's the one who got me. God used Grant to really get me into the Greek. He really did. And I don't know if you knew that, but anyhow, it's worth mentioning because I'm into giving credit where it's due. You know, I love that as part of being in the body of Christ. Amen. And things like that. Amen. So, anyhow, the first one is 4335, which is a compound word from 43:14 and 71:72, and it's just basically to pray earnestly. Not just to pray, but to pray earnestly. So the next Greek word that is found in these references here, and you know what, if I would have really got into the great detail, this study would have been about 8 pages long. So this is already 4 pages, so I have to leave a lot of stuff out. But there's a lot of stuff in there that you guys can go home, look on the internet, stuff like that. You know, the next Greek word is 1162 from 1189, which is specifically a petition, a request, or a supplication. Next Greek word found in these references is Strong's number 1783. Did you notice I'm not pronouncing these Greek words? Because I don't want to get them wrong. I'm not that great on the Greek, and God never told me to learn how to speak Greek. So that's good, because I would have had to, but I would have if he would have told me to, but he never did. So, but it's good to spell them out, the transliteration of them, so we can pronounce them, but I don't want to pronounce them wrong, especially on video. So, but anyhow, it's from 1793, which is a very interesting word, which carries the idea of an interview. A supplication, or the key to this word interview, is the word intercession. And I heard a really good teaching on this a few years ago. It's by a brother of ours from the States. His name is Dutch Sheets. If you guys want to get a great book on prayer and intercessory prayer, it's actually called Intercessory Prayer. It's by a man by name Dutch Sheets. I mean, this guy gets into the Greek and Hebrew. And God had given the word, I think, 15 years before. He said, you're going to write a book on prayer that's going to touch my church. And I'll tell you, that book is so powerful. And he wrote another one after that that is just as powerful. But I remember it's still the first one. It's full of Greek and Hebrew. And the key idea of this word here, intercession, is that you have an audience with God. And I'll tell you, that is exciting. And I'm just going to throw this out. It's not in my notes. I shared something with our sister Laurentine the other day about praying in tongues, and about we've got this term in the charismatic camp about warfare tongues, which is really not found in the Word of God. Because when you're praying in tongues, you're speaking to God overall. But there is a diversity of tongues, which we're going to get into later on, which is right at the end of the teaching. A diversity of tongues where you're having, your tongues are changing, and your God is praying. This is not a personal tongue for personal edification. This is a tongue that God is using to intercede that will affect the enemy's camp, definitely. Guaranteed. And my first experience of this was what I was with a small church in Oshawa. I was with them, and we used to meet on Sunday nights for just prayer, and we'd all sit in a circle at Freedom Victory Center. And we'd all sit in a big circle, and most of the time we were just praying tongues. That's all we did. And this night he had a special guest of his, a friend from Ottawa, and very prophetic man. And all I know is we started praying in tongues, and all of a sudden is my tongues started to change, and really dramatically change. And to the place where I started getting a word in my chest on the inside, and it would not go away. And then afterwards, he said, did you guys get anything? Did you feel you get anything? And I hesitated to lift up my hand, but I did, because it was true. And God was teaching me something about tongues, and lots of tongues, which we're going to get into later on, is that I got the word Afghanistan. And I didn't even know what Afghanistan was. I didn't even know where it was. I didn't know what was going on. And then I think 2 days later, I saw the word Afghanistan in the newspaper, on the news, and what was going on there about the war, the U.S. military being there, and everything. So I realized that my tongues had changed, and then God began to intercede through me for Afghanistan that night. It was powerful. I couldn't even stop praying. I should have went outside and kept on praying in tongues. I should have. My tongues got so loud, I don't really care what people think, but I do, but I don't. But they got so loud and they got so wild that people started looking at me, but it was just flowing outside of me. But I kept on getting this word up here, right in my chest area, Afghanistan. And I didn't know what was going on until later on I realized God had me interceding for Afghanistan. And so it really encouraged me. And I think our sister Lahansin got that one night, right? During that 15 days of prayer and all that, you started getting tongues, and you began to get the gist of what you're praying about. Yeah. Sometimes you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're praying about. We're going to touch on that a little bit tonight. But sometimes God will show you what you're praying about. He may not give you everything, but he's going to show you what you're praying about to encourage you. Yes. You know, when I got that experience, and it was an experience, it encouraged me to pray even more in tongues on my own. Because if God can use me to my goodness, to do whatever he had to do in Afghanistan, that's powerful. That's really powerful. You know? So, and what else? Who else? Where else in the world? If you give yourself over to prayer. You know, much prayer. You know? So, okay, anyhow, let's move on. This last word here is, the last word is 2171. It's UK, but anyhow, from 2172, it's a petition to God or a vow of obligation. Now, I don't want to get into this too much, and I don't want to read into this, because, you know, sometimes we hear people making vows before God, and, well, God, if you do this, I'll do that, or whatever. And I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm not saying that. But me, I've come to the place where I don't care about myself anymore. And that's what the Son is all about, right? Jesus said, I don't do nothing to myself. I can do nothing to myself. You know, I only do what I see my Father doing. And I remember, I shared this here before. It was worth sharing. In 2008, I was on the phone, and I was with a sister of ours. She's a pastor, and they moved to the States now, working for Jim Martin's ministry. And as soon as I got off the phone, the Lord spoke to me. He says, a son has no will of his own. Well, that makes sense, because that's exactly what Jesus said. I can do nothing to myself. I don't do nothing to myself. So whether you're making a vow between, you know, with God or anything like that, God, if you do this, I'll do that, or whatever, I'll make a vow to do this, it's okay. But I think the place where God wants us to come, it's like, you know what, you're just so dead to self, God can do whatever he wants with you. I think that's the best. I think that's what the gist of the New Testament's all about. I really believe that's what it is. And I teach a lot on that. That's part of putting off the old man, putting on the new man. That's Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Okay? So, all right. So let's move on here. I want to focus a little bit of time tonight on Romans 12, 2. Because Romans 12, 2 is a verse that the Lord had given me. I wrote it down here because David, what he does, he cut and paste, and then he just puts the stuff on the video. It makes it a lot easier. It makes the videos go a lot quicker. So what he's given this verse to me, which opened up to me quite a few years ago, not too long after I got saved, which really encouraged me not only to study the prayer, the topic of prayer, but to actually pray more. And we're going to get into this Romans 12:2. So if you guys want to turn to Romans 12:2, we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to spend a bit of time there. Like I said here, to spend more time in prayer as in praying. You know, we can talk about prayer all you want, but until you start praying, you're not praying. You know, and it's good to talk about prayer. It's good to read books on prayer. It's good to, you know, talk about prayer. It's really good. Because that way you're motivating yourself, but you're also putting that inside of you. You're sowing that on the inside of you, but there's nothing like giving yourself over to a life of prayer. So when I'm talking about prayer here tonight, I'm talking about a life of prayer where it's almost like, I don't know if I should say this, but it's almost like I came to the place where I was legalistic about praying. And you know what? I think God used that because I started to guard my prayer life to the place where I had no friends. And I mean, I had no friends, but even the word friend is pretty, it's a pretty strong word. So I think a lot of Christians, they think they got friends, but they're not really friends. Because a real friend, if you got a real Christian friend, you're gonna want to pray together. You really are. You're gonna want to get into the word together and stuff like that. That's, to me, that's a Christian friend, you know? And, so that's what happened with me. And here I said here, as well as praying according to the will of God, not only praying, but praying according to the will of God, as we see in the life of Jesus. And one example is, I mentioned a lot, because he opened it up to me a few years, I think it was 2011, John 5, 17, 19, 20 to 20, and verse 30. We're not going to get into that tonight, but I've taught a lot on this, on that over here, and it's on there tonight. You guys can look at it down the road. In the Amplified, of course, it's a lot better than most translations. So here we have out of Romans 12:12, we have out of the Amplified, it carries the word, be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. We're going to look at that word constant tonight. It's a very powerful word in the Greek. Whew, I'll tell you, I love the original, especially when you know how to use the original for your benefit. Regarding this word, constant, in the original, it's Strong's number 5278, which is actually a compound word. A compound word is basically two words making up one word. And actually in the Greek, we've got some words that are three Greek words made up one word. in the English. There's a very powerful word. And when you start breaking them all down, I start meditating them now, and it just seems like God just is able to bring a lot more insight to what he actually had to say in the original languages. So we got this word here, hupomeno, which is a compound word, which basically carries the idea of to undergo, to have fortitude, to persevere, to endure, and to be patient. And there's more. But to be patient, and all of these key terms in context of prayer. Wow. A prayer. Fortitude concerning prayer. Persevering concerning prayer. Enduring concerning prayer. To be patient in, concerning prayer. You know, when you start giving yourself over to prayer, and especially praying in tongues, because you can only pray so long in English or your own dialect. You can only pray so long, you know. But when you start getting into tongues, I'll tell you, if you will, this is what happened to me. And I remember it was a Friday night, and I had the weekend off. And I would usually, during the week, I had a little digital timer, and I would set it to, let's say, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever, so that I could have some time to get ready for work for the next day and stuff like that. But that Friday night, I still remember, I put my little timer for 2 hours because I wasn't working the next day. And I made a mistake, and I went 3 hours, and I went to change it, and the Lord said, no, don't touch it. And I said, what do you mean, don't touch it? And then I knew he was stretching me to 3 hours. This is years ago. So I had never prayed in tongues for 3 hours before. And then he began to teach me, he began to stretch me, to stretch me, to stretch me, to the place where I would go for prayer walks, and I found places where there were benches so that I can keep praying and sit down. Now, some of you, may, a lot of people would, but that's their problem. A lot of people say that's legalism. But you know what? When they're done with what the Word has to say about prayer, it's not legalism. Because out of that time of praying much in tongues, we were talking about this before, right? When just you and me together here. I began to get experiences with the Lord on the streets while I was praying in tongues. He began to show me things. He began to quicken things to me to the place where I had to start to carry my little digital recorder with me because I was praying so much in tongues. And I'm not there anymore because I got busy with different things, but I look forward to getting back to that place where I can just 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, 9 hours just praying in tongues, because I know what happens while you're speaking mysteries. I'm way ahead of myself. You're speaking mysteries, and God wants to answer those mysteries. So anyhow, we got this word here, and I just wrote a few different translations, a very short list of different translations, versions, with this word, the specific word. So we have Green's translation. Well, some of these translations you'll recognize, some of you won't, because some of these are written by Greek scholars that worked in seminaries and stuff like that, and they actually wrote their own translations, but they're not made popular. They should be, because they're actually better than most translations that we have mostly sold in the bookstores today. But the first one here is Green's translations. He's got enduring in prayer. So there we got the word endurance. Then we've got the New American Standard Bible. We've got the word devoted to prayer. See, devotion. Devoted. Being devoted to something. You know, a lot of people are devoted to a lot of things except for prayer. New King James Version has, this is really good, they got it really good. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. And the reason you've got the word continuing is because the word prayer in the Greek, it's in the present tense. So it's something that is continual or habitual. Okay? So another translation we have here is Schreiner's translation. He's got be devoted to prayer. He added the word be, and I'm going to touch on that after, because there's an imperative in this word. And an imperative, we know what an imperative, it's a commandment. It's not optional, it's a commandment. Then we've got Moo's translation. He's got be devoted again, or to persist in prayer. You know, one of the things I've learned is that when you feel like, well, I prayed enough, and you just feel like you need to pray more, then you're going to have to develop persistency in praying. And I'm going to give you an example of this this is, I can't remember what the year, maybe 10 or 11, and I was sitting on my couch in my parents' living room, and my parents were gone, and they were gone for the weekend, and I had a prayer meeting to go to that night, and I had spent 8 hours praying in tongues that day, and it was nothing for me to pray in tongues, especially when my parents were gone or go outside, it's just whatever, I just get caught up in all that, and I was ready to, it was about 8 hours, I had to get ready for the prayer meeting, which was like another 2-3 hours to go. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, I want you to pray another hour. So I said, 8 hours? Okay, no problem. I did. So I prayed a whole other hour in tongues. And God opened up Colossians 1:20 to me, which I'm not going to get into tonight. He gave me the revelations of Colossians 1:20. It was amazing. So if I had not prayed that extra hour, I know for a fact I would have never got that revelation. And it's not good with withholding anything. It's us. We're not tapping in to what God has already planned for us because we're not learning how to pray as we ought to, you know? So, okay, another translation. I love Wiest, Kenneth Wiest. I want to get Pastor Emmanuel into his stuff. He's got some really good stuff. He's not a perfect scholar, but he's really got some great stuff on the Greek. And his translation on this is, with respect to prayer, persevering in it continually. Now there's your present tense again. There's your present tense. Weymouth is, I think is it Richard Weymouth? I think it's Richard Weymouth. Anyhow, he's got a really good translation. And New Testament only, of course. And he translates, earnest and persistent in prayer. Now, when you start reading a word like that, it should cause, not condemnation, but it should cause conviction. Because this is the Word of God. And God wrote His Word the way He did in the original on purpose. Everything God does is on purpose. Everything. So the more I began to see this about prayer, well, I'm going to get into this because God used Romans 12:2 with me big time. When you start reading the Word like this, if unless you've got a real stubborn heart or a real hardened heart, I'll tell you, it's going to start affecting everything you do with your life. To the place where God was able to tell me that He wanted me to pray in tongues, going to work, which most of my work was downtown Toronto, construction, and He wanted me, He said, I don't want you to listen to no CDs, and a lot of people don't believe that, that's their problem, and He said, I don't want you to listen to no CDs, He said, I want you to pray in tongues on the way to work, so that's usually an hour to 2 hours, sometimes I worked in Barrie, Orillia, so anyhow, you get lots of praying. And I want you to pray in tongues as much as you can at work. Sometimes I didn't have a partner. And a lot of times I sang in tongues. And I prayed in tongues all the way back home. So that's in one day. That's roughly about 7, 8, 9 hours of praying in tongues under my breath. You know? So we can get lots of praying in. Lots of praying in. You know? Because actually, I'm going to get ahead of myself, so I won't say it right now. I'll save it for the end. Okay. So this word, the same word, 5278, hupomeno, is also found in many different places in the New Testament, translated in different ways. And one of the best translations that I have yet to come across is actually found in the Amplified, the Classic Amplified, in Hebrews 12:1. Now wait till you get a hold of this one. You got it on your piece of paper there. Now you add that to prayer. And if that don't change your prayer life, you better start meditating on these Greek words, these definitions. Because if you do, it's going to do a supernatural work on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit's going to use it. And you're going to actually start developing this kind of prayer life that the Word talks about. And this word, found in the Amplified, you can go to it another time. I wrote it here. It's on prayer, but the same Greek word is used for something else in Hebrews 12:1. Literally, it has with patient endurance and steady and active persistence. That's just that one Greek word. That's how they translated it in the Amplified. Now, in that context, it's not about prayer, but you bring that definition into every other place where that Greek word is used concerning prayer. That's powerful. Would you agree? Okay. So, another key definition of the same word is to occupy oneself diligently with something. To occupy yourself diligently with something. And then the context of prayer, it's prayer. So to occupy yourself diligently with prayer. With prayer. It's also worth noting that some of the translations above that I just mentioned carry this little word, be. Now some translations don't catch it, but a lot of them do. And that's where you get into the imperative. The word be. Even other places where be not conformed to this world. If you look up, if you start doing this, I did this years ago, and it really helped me understand what God was trying to get as command, as imperatives, not in a way that, yeah, you have to do this, but you're doing this for your own good. Because anything that God expects from you or demands from you is for your own good. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. So that little word be is actually found everywhere in the New Testament. Like I said, one of the references is be not conformed to this world. It's actually, and then be transformed. The word be is in there again. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are two imperatives in the Greek. There are verses, and I'm going to have this stuff on my website. There are verses in Timothy, 1st or 2nd Timothy, where in one verses you'll find 8 or 9 imperatives. And I've never heard any teaching on this in the last 22 years. I've never really read any books on this. I don't know what's wrong with these Greek scholars. They write books, but they just don't touch on these things, and they should. And I'm going to touch on these things because I know I've got the grace to do it. God has enabled me to bring these things out to make them known to the church. And so that the church can line up more with what God has to say about these different things. Okay? So the word be, because it rightly picked up in the grammatical rule, which has the imperative concerning the word, again, hopomino, and it's an imperative, a command, meaning it's not an option, it's not optional. Now, God has given us free will. We have the freedom to do what we want, even as believers, but there are consequences. Laurentine says it in French, le libre arbitre. That's right. Free will. We're free moral agents. And even once you get born again, you get your free moral agency back because you don't have it once you're before you're saved. You're an atheist. You're an unbeliever. You're in bondage to sin. Amen. So back in the garden, God had made Adam a free moral agent. He said, the day you eat this tree, he didn't force Adam. He gave the free will. And there's consequences. So once you get born again, God gives you your freedom back. But he still does not impose that upon you. But trust me, there's consequences to that. And if there's not, well, there is consequences here. But if you don't think there's consequences here, wait till you get there. Because we will give an account concerning everything what the word has to say. And a lot of people, they think this is in a legalistic approach. But it's not. I don't see this as a legalistic at all. Legalistic approach whatsoever. I love the word like that. Because this is the way God has given us his word. And there's a reason behind it. So, also interesting to note that this same word, 5278, is used many times regarding the topic of prayer. Specifically prayer. Specifically prayer. So we have some of these verses here. They're worth reading. I wrote the word amplified because the amplified really catches the original. I didn't write the verses down, but you guys can look it up later on. They're Acts 1:14, 2:42, 6:4, Ephesians 6:18, Colossians 4:2, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and 1 Timothy 2:1. Powerful. All concerning prayer and this whole area of persistency, diligence, endurance, patience, in the imperative. In the imperative. Also here I wrote down, Schreiner said this. He said, this also proves that prayer does not just happen all by itself. It just doesn't. Meaning those who pray must consciously and deliberately set their minds and hearts to do so. And that's what happened with me. Did I share this right here? Yes. First of all, this is what the Lord told me. I still remember where I was in my house and something had happened between me and my mother and somebody had said something on television. And I disagreed with them. And she looked at me and she goes, well, what do you know? This guy's on TV. You're not on TV. And this guy's been in ministry. I won't mention who it was. And I just knew he was wrong. And then that's what she said to me. I went to my room. And that's when the Lord gave me this word. I knew I was right when he gave me this word. I knew I was right before that. But that he gave me this word. And there's a reason why he gave me this word. To encourage me to keep praying. And that's what he said. He who prays little sees little. But he who prays much sees much. That's what he told me. That's what came to me. And I'll tell you, I've had people say, you prayed in tongues too much. Well, you talk to him about it, you know? So I want to get into a little bit of just another experience that I had concerning prayer, a vivid experience. And this is years ago. I'm going to read it out. Like I said, it's for video sake too, right? So one of my first vivid experiences regarding prayer took place not too long after I got saved. And I still remember where I was. I was sitting downstairs watching some documentary. I got really into the documentaries after I got born again. Because before I got saved, I was into the drugs, the rock and roll, the girls, all that stuff. And I couldn't care less about the world. I couldn't care less about wars. I couldn't care less about the sex trade. I couldn't care less about the crime, the penitentiary. I just couldn't care less about it. It wasn't even on my radar screen. And after I got saved, everything began to matter to me. And then I started watching good documentaries. And I know God used documentaries to put something on the inside of me as a missionary concerning what is happening in the world. So I started watching really good documentaries, recording them also. And a lot of times I would just listen to them and pray in tongues under my breath. So I was watching this documentary on TV on a Saturday afternoon after having worked all week. And all of a sudden, I felt a strong urge. I still remember where I was on that rocking chair. I felt a strong urge to go and pray. Yet I did not follow through with that urge or that impression. I just did not follow through with it at that time. Yet by that time in my walk with God, I had already developed a fairly healthy prayer life, nowhere near what I am today or what I had years later. But even after I got saved, I was still praying roughly, I was still praying a couple hours a day. I really was. And of course I was studying prayer, I was reading books on prayer, so that helped, that fed. I was starting to feed myself. God was feeding me on the life of prayer. So I had this urge. I didn't follow through with it, but I already had a healthy prayer life to some degree. The very next Saturday, basically at the same time, I was sitting downstairs relaxing after working 40-hour week working construction, and I got the same thing again. But this time, I did something about it. I was watching a documentary again. Same thing happening all over again. This is where and when I realized that God was asking and leading me to spend some extra time in prayer in the afternoons, which is where and when began to develop a strong, robust life of prayer, which included many years of prayer walks, as I talked about before. I'm not going to get into that now, since I already mentioned a little bit about that. As in going outside for walks while praying, not only in the warmer months, but including in the colder months of the year, in the early mornings or the afternoons, as well as evenings, including in the very middle of the night when I could not sleep on the weekends. A lot of times, it was a Friday and or a Saturday, and I would wake up in the middle of the night, and especially summertime. Wintertime, you got to get dressed up and all that. But especially summertime, I would get dressed, and I would go right behind. I live on Gladstone, and right behind me, we have Valview Park. And then at the bottom, that's Arena Street. And then on the other side, at Kinsman Stadium. And then there's another Valley Park with the creek over there. And I would just start walking. I would stand at the lights though. I didn't want to, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the parks at night. You can hear them. And I used to party in those parks years ago. But I would stand at the lights and I would just usually walk from Adelaide all the way to Bond Street. And I would just pray. I started praying until I felt getting tired and I'd go back to bed. That's what I did for the longest time. The longest time. And it all started with God giving me that impression on that day, those two Saturdays. And of course, studying prayer, getting into the word about prayer. So anyhow, I say all of that to really encourage people to, you know, I know it's sometimes we have things to do. And of course, myself, you know, being single and all that, of course, I've got more time than a lot of people with their family and all that. But at the same time, I know with the Lord's help that you can find some extra time for prayer. I just know it. Because I know people that got, I knew a guy, he had like, I don't know how many kids he had. I think he had 5 or 6. And he still had time for 2, 3, 4 hours of prayer every day. He just set his priorities right. I knew another guy. He learned this from his mother and his grandmother. He was raised in a family where, as a young boy, they would play, him and his sister, they would play with toys. And he was exposed to his grandmother watching over the kids while the mother went to work because the parents were divorced. And the grandmother would watch the kids while praying in tongues. And then eventually him and his sister, they got born again at a very young age. And they got baptized with the Holy Spirit at a young age. And because of hearing their grandmother praying in tongues, they started to develop that at a very young age. And then this man today, at the age I saw him, he's a little bit younger than me. I think he's about 50, 51 now. I remember seeing on TV, at the age around 31, he had already been to 81 different nations. 81 different nations, yeah. Why? Because he had built a strong prayer life. Very strong, at a very young age. And a word life too, you know. I'm not trying to exclude the word here, but this is about prayer tonight, right? So, to close my teaching tonight, another aspect in this whole realm of prayer or praying is also found in the area of the gift of praying in tongues. So we're going to touch on that probably about 5 minutes here. Praying in tongues, which basically, the verses on praying in tongues are found in Romans 8:26. I put a question mark besides Romans 8:26 and Jude 20, because not because I doubt that it's about praying in tongues, but because there's controversy about those verses actually meaning praying in tongues. And we're going to look at this very shortly here. Romans 8:26, specifically tongues, is 1 Corinthians 12:10 concerning diversities of tongues. Then we've got 1 Corinthians 14, specifically personal tongues, which is verse 2, 4 to 19, but specifically verse 2, 4 to 5, and 13, which we don't have time to get into because I want to give some time for some interaction. And Ephesians 6:18, which is a very, very powerful verse concerning praying, but also praying in tongues, I believe, because it talks about praying in the Spirit. And Jude 20 also talks about praying in the Spirit, but also talks about edifying yourself, which we're going to touch on here. But praying in the Spirit, I personally believe, not only because of what I've heard some good teachers teach about this, but from what I believe the Lord showed me years ago, when you're praying in the Spirit, that could mean He's leading you to pray in your own dialect. For me, it's French or English. Or praying in tongues. It's both. Because the Holy Spirit is not limited to just praying in tongues. He'll have you praying in English, in French, whatever dialect it is. He'll have you praying in those. You have to pray. You got to pray in tongues. Paul says, I pray in my spirit, and then I pray with my mind. So when he says, I'm praying with my intellect, he's saying, I'm praying in my normal language. But then when he's saying, I'm praying in the spirit, he's talking about, with my spirit, he says, small s, he's talking about praying in tongues. All in the same context there. We don't have time to get into that.
Verse 15.
Yes. That's right. So, okay, 1 Corinthians 14:4. I want to touch on this. And some of you may be saying, well, I don't have the gift of tongues. Well, the way you're going to get the gift of tongues is by hearing teachings on praying in tongues. And then you're going to have the faith for it. And then God's going to give you the tongues. Because everything is received by faith. That's the way I got my tongues. I heard my mom speaking in tongues. And before that, after I got saved, I joined the Charismatic Catholics in Oshawa. And they talked about the seminar of the Spirit. Life of the Spirit seminar, and I never got my tongues there, but they talked about tongues, they were all tongue talkers. And then one night, or one afternoon, I think it was a Saturday again, I was going down the hallway, I was going to my room, and my mom was in her room, her door was open about 6 inches, and she was sitting on her bed, and she was praying in tongues, I didn't know the tongues, and all I said right there, I said, whatever that is, Lord, I want that. I didn't say, dude, what's that? I didn't say that. I said, whatever that is, I want that. I went to my room, and I think 2 days later, I was in my room, and I started speaking in tongues. Just like that. Boom. Like 6 months after I got saved. Not even 6 months, maybe. Maybe 6 months. So, God's not withholding. You know, I know people say, well, I'm still waiting. Well, you're going to wait a long time. If you're waiting for God, because the baptism has already made available, so you need to build your faith on what the Word says about praying in tongues. And you'll get your tongues. I know people that got their tongues in the shower, in the bath. I tell you, I've gotten so many words in the toilet. Not in the toilet, but in the washroom. In the washroom, in the shower, over the years. But I've heard of people getting baptized. I have a friend of mine, a brother of ours. He's a professor at Emmanuel Bible College in Kitchener. And he's a cessationist, meaning he doesn't believe in tongues. Maybe he's changed. And I know he won't mind because we've had a lot of conversations. I went to see him many times in Kitchener. And he loves me. He says, you're charismatic, but he says, you're different from a lot of other characters. You live the life. You're not in sin, stuff like that. And he said he knew a guy who's he was a Presbyterian at the time. And he knew a guy who's a Presbyterian missionary. And he was on the mission field. And some guy shared about the gift of speaking in tongues. He said, we don't believe in that. He said, I know you don't believe in that, but that's why I'm sharing it with you, Uni. So he said, no, we don't believe in that. And but somehow what happened is that I think just a few days later, he was in a shower, and he started singing in tongues. And his wife said, she was, I guess, outside, whatever, outside the door, whatever. And she says, what are you doing? And he said, what am I doing? Well, I don't know. What am I doing? And she says, you're singing in some language. You know. He said, I know. It just happened. I felt a warm feeling come over me. And she goes, is it possible that it's what that guy was talking to us about the tongues? He said, well, what else can it be? It's got to be tongues. But she goes, we don't believe in that. Which says, well, I do now. And, you know, it's just amazing how God has just ruined your theology for the good. And I love it when God ruins your theology. Because I don't want man's theology. I want his theology.
Amen.
You know, theology is good.
Yeah.
I love theology if it's accurate. You know, I don't want wrong theology, but I love theology. I just write a lot of books on theology. I just love it. Theology, the study of God. Theo is the Greek word for the word God. So what's the big deal? You know? So I consider myself a theologian, you know. And so anyhow, where was I here? Okay. We have this Greek word in 14:4, which is Strong's 36:18, from 36:19, which is a compound word also, made up of 36:24 and 14:30, which carries the idea of to be a house builder. A house builder to construct, to edify, to embolden, there you go, edification, and to build. And that's that word in 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who prays in tongues edifies himself. He edifies himself. So why would you want to talk against speaking in tongues when tongues helps you to build yourself up? Why? And that's what Jude uses too, building yourself up on your most holy faith. And the reason I believe that Jude 20 is talking about tongues is because the same Greek word is found in Jude 20. It's found in there. To build yourself up. To edify. You know, to make you strong. Like one of my favorite preachers says, to make you feel like a green, what's his name, Jolly Green Giant? You know, you feel like you become invincible. You know, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to feel, well not feel, to be invincible. Because we are on this planet. We are on a planet that is, we're surrounded by sin, we're surrounded by disease, we're surrounded by demons, we're surrounded by people that don't believe in God, you know? So God wants us to walk in this boldness that comes from speaking much in tongues, which I'm going to touch on here a little bit. So in Jude 20, we actually have the Greek word, 2026, which is another compound word, which is made up with this 36:18, which is the last word that we looked up in 1 Corinthians 14:4. It carries the word of to construct, to build, to edify. Okay? So according to these verses, in a nutshell, here are the benefits of praying in tongues. In a nutshell, these are the benefits. First of all, if you look them up in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, he who speaks in tongue does not speak to man, but to God. You're talking to God. You and God. You're talking to God. You're speaking his language. If you want to speak God's language, get tongues. And keep speaking in tongues. Okay, next one is you speak mysteries. You're speaking, that's what it says, right? You're speaking mysteries. So you're speaking things that you don't know of, but why? Because God wants to give you the revelation of those things. He wants to give you the revelation. He wants to answer His own prayers. He wants to answer His own prayers. That's why God wants to pray through you, so He can answer His own prayers. Okay? And the next one, the last one, is you edify yourself. You know? You edify yourself. You build yourself up. One last note here is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, in the original Greek, the first part of the verse reads like this, okay? It's most translations don't get it. I would say, I don't know how many translations I've got on home. All of them don't get it, but that's why I'm working on my translation. And I'll tell you, this translation is going to be, I don't know how big it's going to be, but anyhow, somehow I'm going to get it on the internet. So it's probably not never be in printed form, but I don't want to limit God either, because we can do it in multiple volumes. But in the original, this is the way it should read. For one who habitually, continually speaks in tongues, because it's in the present tense. Because it's in the present tense. You know, finally, I know my mom won't mind me saying this. Finally, after years of my mom having the gift of tongues, I've been saved for 22 years. She got her gift of tongues years before that. She's finally, after a year of me hammering away in a nice way, sometimes not so nice, but anyhow, you gotta learn, right? So anyhow. So hammering away, even while driving, I'm driving and going, Mom, I've done this with Nahan Sin. Mom, I don't hear you praying in tongues. Because I'm praying. I'm not hearing you praying in tongues. She starts praying in tongues. Now, after a year doing that with her, even at home, Mom, what are you doing? What am I doing? What are you doing? What am I doing? You're not praying in tongues. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So now, my mom's praying she's praying more in tongues all on her own. She's going to the washroom, she's going to her room, she's doing her kitchen, she's praying in tongues. She's praying in tongues. You know? So, and this is for all of us. Whether you already speak in tongues, or whether you don't speak in tongues yet, it's for all of us. So I thank you for your time.